The parable of the unmerciful servant. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Maybe seven times? But Jesus said to him, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times 7. In other words, if somebody does something nasty to you and says, oh yeah, sorry about that, and then they go and do it again, oh yeah, sorry about that, and they do it again,
And again.
How many times should I forgive before saying, you're not sincere? And Jesus says, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Lots and lots of times. So we should forgive each other without questioning whether someone's repentance, whether they're saying sorry, is true or not. We've got to forgive. Even if they don't say sorry, we still forgive, and that's very difficult. And then he told a parable. He said, the kingdom is like a king who had a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. But because he couldn't pay, his master said that he had to be sold, and his wife and his children. That means the children would be sold as slaves. Everything had to be sold, and payment must be made. But the slave fell down and worshipped him and said, Lord, have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and let him go free and forgave him the debt frankly. But the same servant went out and found one of the other servants who owed him 100 pennies. Well, he owed 10,000 talents, and a talent was much more than a penny. So he finds his fellow servant who owed him 100 pennies and put his hands on him and put his hands on his throat and said, pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, just like he'd fallen down at his master's feet, and begged him, saying, please be patient with me and I'll pay you everything. But he would not, and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. Well, if he was in prison, he couldn't work, so there was no way then he was ever going to get right. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were very sad and came and told their Lord everything that had happened. So when we see bad things going on like that, we can come and tell Mummy and Daddy, but we can also just tell God. Now, you might think, well, God knows anyway, but that's what prayer is largely all about, us sharing our lives with God and Jesus. So the master, after calling him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, 10,000 talents, because you begged me to. Shouldn't you then have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had pity and mercy on you? And the Lord was angry and delivered him, so that he should pay all that was due to him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you, if you don't forgive from your hearts your brother's sin. So really we must forgive. And this is why families break up, it's why people argue and fall out, because they will not forgive. And because, as the whole thing started, because people are saying, well, I want to see you repent. That's not the point. We must forgive, and if we don't, we actually are the losers. Well, after this, Jesus came from Galilee into Judea, beyond Jordan. And as he was walking along the road, a man came up to him and said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
That's right. Well done. And Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. That might seem reasonable. But Jesus said to him, no, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.
Like I buried, found a dead bear. Well, pretty much dead, and waited until it was dead, so I buried it.
That's right. And how much more in burying your father? But Jesus is saying, look, I'm asking you to go and preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That must come absolutely above family, above everything. Another man said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and say goodbye to those who are at my home. Jesus said to him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So it's a big emphasis that we must be ready to give absolutely all, including our families and what we love the most, for Jesus. And then a young ruler came up to Jesus and said, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now that's a good reason for thinking that Jesus is not God himself, because when the man says, Oh, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments, he continued, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, honour your father and mother. And he said to Jesus, Master, I've done all these things from my youth. Now, he was a young man, and he said, Oh, I've done all this from a young man. Well, I would have thought, what an arrogant person. But Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him. So, in all our immaturity, because we're not as grown up as we could be, or will be one day, or even should be, all the same, Jesus loves us, and we must likewise love others, despite the bits and pieces that are immature in their lives. And Jesus said to him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And then take up the cross and follow me. It's as if Jesus is carrying his cross, and we have got to pick up a cross and follow him to death. And the young man was sad at these words and went away upset because he had great possessions. And Jesus looked about and looked at the disciples, who were poor generally, and said, How hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed. They thought that rich people had a good chance to get saved. But money can't buy everlasting life. Money can't buy happiness and joy and peace with God. And so Jesus repeated again how hard it is for them who trust in riches, in wealth, to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So in those days, the cities had big walls around them, and there was a gate. And the gate was pretty big to allow camels to go through that were loaded up high with all the goods they had to carry. And then there was a little gate which only a man could walk through, really. And that was called the needle gate. And so Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. The camel would have had to get down on its knees and have all its wealth taken off it, all its goods, and then it could just about squeeze through the little gate. And so everyone wants to be rich. They want to have a good life. They want to have wealth, expensive things, nice games, nice toys, nice houses, nice furniture, expensive cars and holidays. But Jesus says it's really difficult if you've got wealth to enter into the kingdom. And so, really, if we are above all things wanting to be in the kingdom, we will not want to be wealthy, because we know from what he says, if we believe him, that that will make it hard for us to get into the kingdom. And the disciples said, We have forsaken all and followed you. What shall we have? Jesus said to them, Truly I tell you, that those who have followed me like that, in the day when the Son of Man, Jesus, will sit on the throne of his glory, that's when he comes back, and there's the resurrection, you will sit upon 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So it's the humble people who are poor, who are the poor in this world, but, as James says, rich in faith. It's those who will be first in God's kingdom. And the wealthy and the clever and all them in this world, who might be the first now, will be the last in that day. And so it's all going to be turned around. And we might think, ah, but I can be very clever. I can be first in this life and first in the kingdom. But Jesus says, no, the first will be last and the last will be first. And so they are the sort of people who come to respond to the gospel. To the poor, the gospel is preached. And it's people like us who are ordinary people who love the kingdom of God above all else and who don't want to be wealthy, who don't want to be the first. Look at me, I'm the fastest, I won the race, I came top of the class, I got the best grades in my test or my exam. No, that's not the way that we should be, because the first in this life will be last forever. And it's the last in this life, the humble, quiet little person like we saw at our house meeting yesterday, those quiet, humble little people who read the Bible and love God and pray to God and do what they can, who will be the ones who God is going to make the rulers of his kingdom on earth.